Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, this is Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and I am your host, Liv, here with another reading episode. We are getting deep into this Fall of Troy work. And actually, before I forget, I first have a little correction. I don't remember if I said it in the episode or just in the description, but hey, guess what? This work was written in Greek. Yeah. Did I do a ton of research before reading this all to you? No, absolutely not. I just needed something more to read for these episodes, and it seemed fun, and I knew it was from the Roman period, and the guy's name is Quintus. So, you know, I made some assumptions about his language of choice, and I was wrong. So this was written in Greek, and if I said it was Latin, that's on me. It's definitely Greek. It's just from the Latin period. But honestly, that makes it so much more interesting to me because it is like so many hundreds of years after the Iliad. And so we really don't know like what is going on in terms of like what of this was believed in the ancient Greek world that, you know, so valued the Iliad. We know that there were epics that would have told the rest of the story, and like, are these the details that were in them? What of this work was in the kind of original, quote unquote, epics about the end of the war? And like, what did this guy make up? I mean, these questions are endless. I could ask them forever. But ultimately, what I'm telling you is this was written in Greek. It was just during the Roman period. So, you know, probably almost 1,000 years after the Homeric epics, but not in Latin, like I suggested, like a heathen who just assumes everyone Roman spoke only Latin or wrote in only Latin. And I really should be better because I know that Rome conquered so much that there was really a lot of Greek still happening. It was like the unofficial second language. In any case, that's the truth of old Quintus Smyrnaeus, Quintus of Smyrna, as he's otherwise called. And over the last two readings of this work, we watched and listened as the two most interesting characters who came to the aid of Troy post-Iliad, the Amazon Penthesilea, and later the king of Ethiopia, Memnon, the son of the Dawn, We watched and listened as they came to try their best to help Troy and were, of course, still taken out by Achilles. On the Greek side, though, last week we saw the death of Antilochus, Nestor's son. And a little name reminder, Achilles is more often than not called either Peleus' son or Aeacus' son in this work. So that's always Achilles. Aeacus is just his grandfather. It's a weird thing of calling him the son of both his father and grandfather. It's not confusing at all. But Achilles's reign of terror against the Trojan people is about to come to an end. This is The Fall of Troy by Quintus Smyrnaeus, translated by A.S. Way, Book 3. When shone the light of dawn, the splendor throned, then to the ships the Pylian spearmen bore Antilochus's corpse, sore sighing for their prince, and by the Hellespont they buried him with aching hearts. Around him groaning stood the battle-eager sons of Argives, all of love for Nestor, shrouded over with grief. But that gray hero's heart was nowise crushed by sorrow, for the wise man's soul endures bravely, and cowers not under affliction's stroke. But Peleus's son Achilles, wroth for Antilochus, his dear friend, armed for vengeance terrible upon the Trojans. Yes, and these withal, despite their dread of mighty Achilles's spear, poured battle-eager forth from their gates. For now the fates with courage filled their breasts, of whom many were doomed to Hades to descend, whence there is no return, thrust down by hands of Aeacus' son, who also was foredoomed to perish that same day by Priam's wall. Swift met the fronts of conflict, all the tribes of Troy's host, and the battle-biding Greeks, afire with that new-kindled fury of war. Then through the foe the son of Peleus made wide havoc. All around the earth was drenched with gore, and choked with corpses were the streams of Simois and Xanthus. Still he chased, still slaughtered, even to the city's walls, for panic fell on all the host. And now all had he slain, had dashed the gates to earth, rending them from their hinges, or the bolts, hurling himself against them, had he snapped, and for the Danaans into Priam's burge had made a way, had utterly destroyed that goodly town. But now was Phoebus wroth against him with grim fury, when he saw those countless troops of heroes slain of him. Down from Olympus with a lion leap he came, his quiver on his shoulders lay, and shafts that deal the wounds incurable. Facing Achilles stood he, round him clashed quiver, and arrows blazed with quenchless flame his eyes, and shook the earth beneath his feet. But then with a terrible shout the great god cried, so to turn back from war Achilles, awed by the voice divine, and save from death the Trojans. Back from the Trojans, Peleus' son, beseems not that longer you deal with death unto your foes, lest an Olympian god abase your pride. But nothing quailed the hero at the voice immortal, for that round him even now hovered the unrelenting fates. He recked not of the god and shouted his defiance. Phoebus, why do you in my own despite stir me to fight with gods and would protect the arrogant Trojans? Heretofore have you by your beguiling turned me from the fray, when from destruction you at the first did save Hector, whereat the Trojans all through Troy exulted. No, you get you back. Return unto the mansion of the blessed, lest I smite you. Ugh, immortal though you be. Then on the god he turned his back and sped after the Trojans fleeing cityward and harried still their flight. But wroth at heart, thus Phoebus spoke to his indignant soul. Out on this man, he is sense bereft. But now not Zeus himself nor any other power shall save this madman who defies the gods. From mortal sight he vanished into cloud, and cloaked with mist a baleful shaft he shot, which leapt to Achilles' ankle. Sudden pangs with mortal sickness made his whole heart faint. He reeled, and like a tower he fell. That falls smit by a whirlwind when an earthquake cleaves a chasm for rushing blasts from underground. So fell the goodly form of Aeacus' son. He glared a murderous glance to right, to left, upon the Trojans, and a terrible threat shouted, a threat that could not be fulfilled. Who shot at me a stealthy smiting shaft? Let him but dare to meet me face to face, so shall his blood and all his bowels gush out about my spear, and he be hellward sped. I know that none can meet me man to man and quell in fight. Of earth-born heroes, none. Though such a one should bear within his breast a heart unquailing and have thews of brass, but dastard still in stealthy ambush lurk for lives of heroes. Let him face me then, yes, though he be a god whose anger burns against the Danaans. Yes, my heart forebodes that this my smiter was Apollo, cloaked in deadly darkness. So in days gone by my mother told me how that by his shafts I was to die before the Scaean gates, a piteous death. Her words were not vain words. Then with unflinching hands from out the wound incurable, he drew the deadly shaft in agonized pain. Forth gushed the blood, his heart waxed faint beneath the shadow of coming doom. Then in indignant wrath he hurled from him the arrow. A sudden gust of wind swept by and caught it up, and even as he trod Zeus's threshold, to Apollo gave it back. For it beseemed not that a shaft divine sped forth by an immortal should be lost. He unto high Olympus swiftly came to the great gathering of immortal gods, where all assembled watched the war of men, these longing for the Trojans' triumph, those for Danaan victory. So with diverse wills watched they the strife, the slayers and the slain. Him did the bride of Zeus behold, and straight upbraided with exceeding bitter words. What deed of courage, Phoebus, have you done this day, forgetful of that day whereon, to godlike Peleus' spousals, gathered all the immortals? Yes, amidst the feasters you sang how Thetis, silver-footed, left the sea's abysses to be Peleus' bride, and as you harped, all Earth's children came to listen. Beasts and birds, high craggy hills, rivers, and all deep shadowed forests came. All this have you forgotten, and have wrought a ruthless deed, have slain a godlike man, albeit you with other gods did pour the nectar, praying that he might be the son by Thetis given to Peleus. But that prayer have you forgotten, favoring the folk of tyrannous Laomedon, whose kin you kept. He, a mortal, did despite to you the deathless. Oh, you are wit bereft. You favor Troy, your sufferings all forgot. You wretch, and does your false heart know not this? What man is an offense and merits suffering, and who is honored of the gods? Ever Achilles showed us reverence, yes, was of our race. Ha, but for the punishment of Troy, I ween shall not be lighter, though Aeacus' son has fallen. For his son right soon shall come from Scyros to the war to help the Argive men, no less in might than was his sire, a bane to many a foe. But you for the Trojans don't care, but for his valor envied Peleus' son. Seeing he was the mightiest of all men, you fool, how will you meet the Nereid's eyes when she shall stand in Zeus's hall amidst the gods who praised you once and loved as her own son? So Hera spoke, in bitterness of soul upbraiding, but he answered her not a word of reverence for his mighty father's bride, nor could he lift his eyes to meet her eyes, but sat abashed, aloof from all the gods eternal, while in unforgiving wrath scowled on him all the immortals who maintained the Danaans' cause. But such as fain would bring triumph to Troy, these with exultant hearts extolled him, hiding it from Hera's eyes, before whose wrath all heaven-abiders shrank. But Peleus' son, the while, forgot not yet war's fury. Still in his invincible limbs the hot blood throbbed, and still he longed for fight. Was none of all the Trojans dared draw nigh the stricken hero, but at a distance stood, as round a wounded lion, hunters stand mid forest brakes afraid, and though the shaft stands in his heart, yet fails not in him his royal courage, but with terrible glare roll his fierce eyes and roar his grimly jaws. So wrath and anguish of his deadly hurt to fury stung Pelides' soul. But yes, his strength ebbed through the god-envenomed wound. Yet leapt he up and rushed upon the foe and flashed the lightning of his lance. It slew the goodly Orthion, comrade stout of Hector, through his temples crashing clear. His helm stayed not the long lance fury sped, which leapt there through and won within the bones the heart of the brain, and spilt his lusty life. Then he stabbed beneath the brow Hupanous's, even to the eye roots, that the eyeball fell to earth. His soul to Hades flitted forth. Then through the jaw he pierced Alcathous, and shore away his tongue. In dust he fell, gasping his life out, and the spearhead shot out through his ear. These, as they rushed on him, that hero slew, but many a fleer's life he spilt, for in his heart still leapt the blood. But when his limbs grew chill and ebbed away his spirit, leaning on his spear he stood, while still the Trojans fled in huddled rout of panic, and he shouted unto them, "Trojan and Dardanian cravens, you shall not even in my death escape my merciless spear, but unto mine avenging spirits you shall pay, yes, one and all, destruction's debt." He spoke. They heard and quailed, as amid the hills fawns tremble at a lion's deep-mouthed roar, and terror-stricken flee the monster. So the ranks of Trojan chariot lords, the lines of battle helpers drawn from alien lands, quailed at the last shout of Achilles, deemed that he was woundless yet. But beneath the weight of doom, his aweless heart, his mighty limbs, at last were overcome. Down amidst the dead he fell, as fails a beetling mountain cliff. Earth rang beneath him, clanged with a thunder crash his arms, as Peleus' son, the princely, fell. And still his foes with most exceeding dread stared at him, even as when some murderous beast lies slain by shepherds, tremble still the sheep eyeing him. As beside the fold he lies, and shrinking as they pass him far aloof, and even as he were living, fear him dead. So feared they him, Achilles now no more. Yet Paris strove to kindle those faint hearts, for his own heart exulted, and he hoped now Peleus' son, the Danaan strength, had fallen wholly to quench the Argive battle fire. "Friends, if you help me truly and loyally, let us this day die, slain by Argive men, or live, and hail to Troy with Hector's steeds in triumph. Peleus' son thus fallen dead, the steeds that grieving, yearning for their lord to fight, have borne me since my brother died. Might we with these but hail Achilles slain. Glory were this for Hector's horses. Yes, for Hector. If in Hades men have sense of righteous retribution, this man I devised but mischief for the sons of Troy, and now Troy's daughters with exultant hearts from all the city streets shall gather round as pantheresses wroth for stolen cubs or lionesses might stand around a man whose craft in hunting vexed them while he lived. So, around Achilles, a dead corpse at last, in hurrying throngs, Troy's daughters then shall come in unforgiving, unforgetting hate for parents wroth, for husbands slain, for sons, for noble kinsmen. Most of all shall joy my father and the ancient men whose feet unwillingly are chained within the walls by eld, if we shall hail him through our gates and give our foe to fowls of the air for meat.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at the Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Then they which feared him theretofore in haste closed around the corpse of strong-hearted Aeacus' son, Glaucus, Aeneas, battle-fain Agenor, and other cunning men in deadly fight, eager to hail him thence to Ilium, the god-built burge. But Ajax failed him not. Swiftly that godlike man best rode the dead back from the corpses, his long lance thrust them all. Yet ceased they not from onslaught, thronging round. Still with swift rushes fought they for the prize, one following other, like to long-lipped bees, which hover round their hive in swarms on swarms to drive a man thence. But he, recking not of all their fury, carves out the combs of nectarous honey. Harassed, sore are they by smoke reek and the robber, spite of all ever they dart against him. Not cares he, so not of all their onsets, Ajax wrecked. But first he stabbed Agalius in the breast, and slew that son of Myon. Thestor next, Ocythus he smote, Agastratus, Aganippus, Zorus, Nessus, Aramis, the war-renowned, who came from Lycia land with mighty-hearted Glaucus, from his home in Melanippion on the mountain ridge, Athena's fane, which Massicuton fronts anigh Caledonia's headland, dreaded sore of scared seafarers, when its lowering crags must needs be doubled. For his death, the blood of famed Hippolochus's son was horror chilled, for this was his dear friend. With one swift thrust he pierced the sevenfold hides of Ajax's shield, yet touched his flesh not. Stayed the spearhead was by those thick hides and by the corset plate which lapped his battle-tireless limbs. But still from that stern conflict Glaucus drew not back, burning to vanquish Ajax, Aeacus's son, and in his folly vaunting threatened him. Ajax, men name thee mightiest man of all the Argives, hold you in passing high esteem, even as Achilles. Therefore you, I think, by that dead warrior dead this day shall lie. So hurled he forth a vain word, knowing not how far in might above him was the man whom his spear threatened. Battle-biter Ajax, darkly and scornfully glaring on him, said, "You craven wretch, and you know not this, how much was Hector mightier than you in warcraft? Yet before my might, my spear, he shrank. Yes, with his valor was there blent discretion. You, your thoughts are deathward set. Who dares defy me to the battle? A mightier far than you. You cannot say that friendship of our fathers you shall screen, nor me your gifts shall wile to let thee pass scatheless from war, as once did Tydeus' son. Though you did escape his fury, will not I suffer you to return alive from war? Ha! In your many helpers do you trust, who, with you, like so many worthless flies, flit round the noble Achilles' corpse? To these death and black doom shall my swift onset deal." Then on the Trojans this way and that he turned, as amid long forest glens a lion turns on hounds, and Trojans many and Lycians slew that came for honor hungry, till he stood amid a wide ring of flinchers, like a shoal of darting fish, when sails into their midst dolphins or sharks, a huge sea fosterling. So shrank they from the might of Telamon's son, as aye he charged amidst the rout. But still swarmed fighters up, till round Achilles' corpse to right to left lay in the dust the slain, countless, as boars around a lion at bay, and evermore the strife waxed deadlier. Then, too, Hippolochus' war-wise son was slain by Ajax of the Heart of Fire. He fell backward upon Achilles, even as falls a sapling on a sturdy mountain oak. So quelled by the spear on Peleus' son, he fell. But for his rescue, Anchises' stalwart son strove hard with all his comrades battle-fain, and haled the corpse forth and to sorrowing friends gave it to bear to Ilium's hallowed burge. Himself to spoil, Achilles is still fought on, till warrior Ajax pierced him with the spear through the right forearm. Swiftly leapt he back from the murderous war, and hasted thence to Troy. There for his healing cunning leeches wrought, who stanched the blood rush, and laid on the gash balms, such as salve war-stricken warriors' pangs. But Ajax still fought on. Here, there, he slew with thrusts like lightning flashes. His great heart ached sorely for his mighty cousin slain. And now the warrior King Laertes' son fought at his side. Before him blenched the foe, and he smote down Pisander's fleet-foot son, the warrior Menelaus, who left his home in far-renowned Abydos. Down on him he hurled Atymnius, the goodly son whom Pagasus, the bright-haired nymph, had borne to strong Emathion by Granicus's stream. Dead by his side he laid Orestius' son, Proteus, who dwelt beneath lofty Ida's folds. Ah, never did his mother welcome home that son from war, Panacea, beauty famed. He fell by Odysseus's hands, who spilt the lives of many more whom his death-hungering spear reached in that fight around the mighty dead. Yet Alcon, son of Megacles, battle-swift, hard by Odysseus's right knee, drove the spear home, and about the glittering greave the blood dark crimson welled. He recked not of the wound, but was unto his smiter sudden death. For clear through his shield he stabbed him with his spear amidst his battle fury. To the earth backward he dashed him by his giant might and strength of hand, clashed round him in the dust his armor, and his corslet was distained with crimson lifeblood. Forth from flesh and shield the hero plucked the spear of death. The soul followed the lance, head from the body forth, and life forsook its mortal mansion. Then rushed on his comrades in his wounds despite Odysseus, nor from that stern battle toil refrained him. And by this a mingled host of Danaans, eager-hearted, fought around the mighty dead, and many a foe slew they with those smooth-shafted ashen spears. Even as the winds strewn down upon the ground the flying leaves, when through the forest glades sweep the wild gusts, as wane autumn tide and the old year is dying, so the spears of dauntless Danaans strewed the earth with slain, for loyal to dead Achilles were they all, and loyal to hero Ajax to the death. For like black doom he blasted the ranks of Troy. Then against Ajax Paris strained his bow, but he was ware thereof, and sped a stone swift to the archer's head. That bolt of death crashed through his crested helm, and darkness closed around him. In dust down fell he. Not availed his shafts their eager lord. This way and that, scattered in dust, empty his quiver lay, flew from his hand the bow. In haste his friends up caught him from the earth, and Hector's steeds hurried them thence to Troy, scarce drawing breath, and moaning in his pain. Nor left his men the weapons of their lord, but gathered up all from the plain, and bore them to the prince, while Ajax after him sent a wrathful shout. Dog! You have scraped the heavy hand of death today, but swiftly your last hour shall come by some strong Argive's hands or by my own. But now have I a nobler task in hand, from murder's grip to rescue Achilles' corpse. Then turned he on the foe, hurling swift doom on such as fought around Pelides yet. These saw how many yielded up the ghost beneath his strong hands, and with hearts failing them for fear, against him could they stand no more. As rascal vultures were they, which the swoop of an eagle, king of birds, scares far away from carcasses of sheep that wolves have torn, so this way, that way, scattered they before the hurtling stones, the sword, the might of Ajax. In utter panic from the war they fled, in huddled rout, like starlings from the swoop of a death-dealing hawk, when, fleeing bane, one drives against another, as they dart, all terror huddled in tumultuous flight. So from the war to Priam's burge they fled wretchedly, clad with terror as a cloak, quailing from mighty Ajax's battle shout, as with hands dripping blood gouts he pursued. Yes, all one after other had he slain, had they not streamed through city gates flung wide, hard panting, pierced to the very heart with fear. Pent there within, he left them, as a shepherd leaves folded sheep, and strode back over the plain. Yet never touched he with his feet the ground, but oh, he trod on dead men, arms and blood, for countless corpses lay over that wide stretch, even from broad-wayed Troy to the Hellespont, bodies of strong men slain, the spoil of doom. As when the dense stalks of sun-ripened corn fall beneath the reaper's hands, and the long swaths, heavy with full years, overspread the field, and joys the heart of him who oversees the toil, lord of the harvest, even so, by baleful havoc, overmastered, lay all round, face downward, men, remembering not the death-denouncing war shout. But the sons of fair Achaea left their slaughtered foes in dust and blood, unstripped of arms a while, till they should lay upon the pyre the son of Peleus, who in battle shock had been their banner of victory, charging in his might. So the kings drew him from that stricken field, straining beneath the weight of giant limbs, and with all loving care they bore him on, and laid him in his tent before the ships, and round him gathered that great host, and wailed, heart anguished him who had been the Achaeans' strength, and now, forgotten all the splendor of spears, lay amid the tents by moaning Hellespont, in stature more than human, even as lay Tityus, who sought to force Queen Leto when she fared to Pytho. Swiftly in his wrath Apollo shot and laid him low, who seemed invincible. In a foul lake of gore there he lay, covering many a rood of guard on the broad earth, his mother, and she moaned over her son of blessed gods abhorred. But Lady Leto laughed. So grand of mold there in the foeman's land lay Aeacus's son, for joy to Trojans, but for endless grief to Achaean men lamenting. Moaned the air with sighing from the abysses of the sea, and passing heavy grew the hearts of all, thinking, now shall we perish by the hands of Trojans? Then by those dark ships they thought of white-haired fathers left in halls afar, of wives now wedded who by couches cold mourned, waiting with their tender babes for husbands unreturning. And they groaned in bitterness of soul. A passion of grief came over their hearts. They fell upon their faces on the deep sand flung down, and wept as men all comfortless round Peleus' mighty son, and clutched and plucked out by the roots their hair, and east upon their heads defiling sand. Their cry was like the cry that goes up from folk that after battle by their walls are slaughtered, when their maddened foes set fire to a great city and slay in heaps on heaps her people and make spoil of all her wealth. So wild and high they wailed beside the sea, because the Danaans' champion, Aeacus' son, lay grand in death by a god's arrow slain, as Ares lay when she of the mighty father with that huge stone dashed him on Troy's plain. Ceaselessly wailed the Myrmidons' Achilles, a ring of mourners round the kingly dead, that kind heart, friend alike to each and all, to no man arrogant nor hard of mood, but ever tempering strength with courtesy. Then Ajax first, deep groaning, uttered forth his yearning over his father's brother's son, god-stricken. No man has smitten him of all upon the wide-wayed earth that dwell. Him, glorious Ajax, heavy-hearted, mourned, now wandering to the tent of Peleus' son, now cast down all his length, a giant form on the sea sands, and thus lamented he. Achilles, shield and sword of Argive men, you have died in Troy, from Phthia's plains afar, smitten unawares by that accursed shaft, such a thing as weakling dastards aim in fight. For none who trusts in wielding the great shield, none who for war can skill to set the helm upon his brows and sway the spear in his grip and cleave the brass about the breasts of foes, wars with arrows, shrinking from the fray. Not man to man he met you, who so smote you, else woundless never had he scaped your lance. But haply Zeus proposed to ruin all, and make all our toil and labor vain. Oh, now will grant the Trojans victory, who from Achaea now has reft her shield. How shall old Peleus in his halls take up the burden of a mighty grief now in his joyless age? His heart shall break at the mere rumor of it. Better so, thus, in a moment to forget all pain. But if these evil tidings slay him not, oh, laden with sore sorrow, eld shall come upon him, eating out his heart with grief by a lone hearth. Peleus, so passing dear once to the blessed, but the gods vouchsafe no perfect happiness to hapless men. So he in grief lamented Peleus' son. Then ancient Phoenix made heart-stricken moan, clasping the noble form of Aeacus' seed, and in wild anguish wailed the wise of heart. You are reft from me, dear child, and cureless pain has left to me. Oh, that upon my face the veiling earth had fallen, ere I saw your bitter doom. No pang more terrible has ever stabbed my heart. No, not that hour of exile when I fled from fatherland and noble parents, fleeing Hellas through, till Peleus welcomed me with gifts and lord of his Dolopians made me. In his arms you through his halls one day he bore and set upon my knee and bade me foster you, his babe, with all love as my own dear child. I hearkened to him, blithely did you cling about my heart, and babbling wordless speech did call me father often, and did bedew my breast and tunic with your baby lips. Oftentimes with soul that laughed for glee I held you in my arms, for my heart whispered to me, this fosterling through life shall care for you, staff of your age shall be, and that my hope was for a little while fulfilled, but now you have vanished into darkness, and to me is left long heartache, wild with all regret. Mighty my sorrow, slay me, ere the tale to noble Peleus come. When on his ears fall the heavy tidings, he shall weep and wail without cease. most piteous grief we too for your sake shall inherit. Yes, your sire, and I who hear our day of doom mourning shall go down to the grave for you. Ugh, better this than life without you. So moaned his ever-swelling tide of grief, and Atreus' son beside him mourned and wept with heart on fire, with only smoldering pain. You have perished, chief of the Danaan men, have perished and have left the Achaean host defenseless. Now you are fallen. Are they left an easier prey to foes? You have given joy to Trojans by your fall, who dreaded you as a sheep a lion. These with eager hearts, even to the ships, will bring the battle now. Zeus, father, you too with deceitful words beguiled mortals. You did promise me that Priam's bird should be destroyed. But now that promise you gave, you do not fulfill. But you did cheat my heart. I shall not win the war's goal now that Achilles is no more. So did he cry, heart anguished, mourned all around wails multitudinous for Peleus' son. The dark ships echoed back the voice of grief and sighed and sobbed the immeasurable air. And as when long sea rollers onward, driven by a great wind, heave up far out at sea and strandward sweep with terrible rush, and oh, headland and beach with shattered spray are scourged and roar unceasing, so a dread sound rose of moaning of the Danaans round the corpse, ceaselessly wailing Peleus's aweless son. And on their mourning soon black night had come, but spoke unto Atrides, Neleus' son, Nestor, whose own heart bore its load of grief, remembering his own son, Antilochus. O mighty Agamemnon, scepter lord of Argives, from wide shrilling lamentation refrain we for this day. None shall withhold hereafter these from all their heart's desire of weeping and lamenting many days. But now go to, from aweless Aeacus' son, wash we the foul blood gouts, and lay we him upon a couch. Unseemly it is to shame the dead by leaving them untended for long. So counseled Neleus' son, the passing wise. Then hastened he his men, and bade them set cauldrons of cold spring water over the flames, and wash the corpse, and clothe in vesture fair, sea purple, which his mother gave her son at his first sailing against Troy. With speed they did their lord's command, with loving care all service meetly rendered. On a couch laid they the mighty fallen Peleus' son. The Trito-born, the passing wise, beheld and pitied him, and showered upon his head ambrosia, which has virtue, oh, to keep taintless, men say, the flesh of warriors slain. Like softly breathing sleeper, dewy fresh, she made him over that dead face. She drew a stern frown, even as when he lay, with wrath darkening his grim face, clasping his slain friend Patroclus. And she made his frame to be more massive, like a war god to behold. And wonder seized the Argives as they thronged and saw the image of a living man, where all the stately length of Peleus' son lay on the couch and seemed as though he slept. Around him all the woeful captive maids, whom he had taken for prey, what time he had ravaged hollowed Lemnos and had scaled the towered crags of Thebes, Eetion's town, wailed as they stood and rent their fair young flesh and smote their breasts and from their hearts bemoaned that lord of gentleness and courtesy who honored even the daughters of his foes. And stricken most of all with heartsick pain, Briseis, hero Achilles' couchmate, bowed over the dead and tore her fair young flesh with ruthless fingers, shrieking. Her soft breast was ridged with gory weals, so cruelly she smote it, You had said that crimson blood had dripped on milk. Yet in her grief, despite her winsome loveliness, shone out, and grace hung like a veil about her as she wailed. Woe, when my brethren died, my fatherland was wasted, like this anguish for your death. You waste my day, my sunlight, my sweet life, my hope of good, my strong defense from harm, dearer than all my beauty, yes, more dear than my lost parents. You waste all in all to me, you only, captive though I be. You took from me every bondmaid's task, and like a wife did hold me. But now me shall some new Achaean master bear to fertile Sparta or to thirsty Argos. The bitter cup of thraldom shall I drain, severed, from you. Oh, that the earth had veiled my dead face before I saw your doom. So for slain Peleus' son did she lament, with woeful handmaids and heart-anguished Greeks, mourning a king, a husband. Never dried were her tears, ever to the earth they streamed like sunless water trickling from a rock, while rime and snow yet mantle over the earth above it. Yet the frost melts down before the east wind and the flame shafts of the sun.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at The Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, for product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Now came the sound of that upringing wail, Tenarius's daughters, dwellers in the depths unfathomed. With sore anguish all their hearts were smitten. Pitilessly they moaned, their cries shivered along the waves of Hellespont. Then with dark mantles overpalled, they sped swiftly to where the Argive men were thronged, as rushed their troop up silver paths of sea. The flood disported round them as they came. With one wild cry they floated up. It rang, a sound as when fleet-flying cranes forebode a great storm. Moaned the monsters of the deep plaintively round that train of mourners. Fast on sped they to their goal, with awesome cry wailing the while their sister's mighty son. Swiftly from Helicon the Muses came, heart-burdened with undying grief, for love and honor to the Nereid, starry-eyed. Then Zeus with courage filled the Argive men, that eyes of flesh might undismayed behold that glorious gathering of goddesses. Then those divine ones round Achilles' corpse pealed forth with one voice from immortal lips a lamentation. Rang again the shores of Hellespont as rain upon the earth their tears fell round the dead man, Aeacus's son, for out of depths of sorrow rose their moan, and all the armor, yes, the tents, the ships of that great sorrowing multitude were wet with tears from ever-welling springs of grief. His mother cast her on him, clasping him, and kissed her son's lips, crying through her tears. Now let the rosy vestured dawn in heaven exult. Now let broad-flowing Axius exult, and for Asteropaeus dead put by his wrath, let Priam's seed be glad. But I unto Olympus will ascend, and at the feet of everlasting Zeus will cast me, bitterly planning that he gave me an unwilling bride unto a man whom joyless Eld soon overtook, to whom the fates are near with death for gift, yet him, glorious in the Aeacid halls, in recompense for the bridal, I so loathed that into wild wind. Now I changed me, now to water, now in fashion as a bird I was, now as the blast of flame, nor might a mortal win me for his bride, who seemed all shapes in turn that earth and heaven contain, until the Olympian pledged him to bestow a godlike son on me, a lord of war. Yes, in a manner this did he fulfill faithfully, for my son was mightiest of men. But Zeus made brief his span of life unto my sorrow. Therefore up to heaven will I, to Zeus's mansion will I go, and wail my son, and will put Zeus in mind of all my labor for him and his sons in their sore stress, and sting his soul with shame. So in her wild lament the sea queen cried. But now to Thetis spoke Calliope, she in whose heart was steadfast wisdom throned. From lamentation, Thetis, now forbear, and do not, in the frenzy of your grief for your lost son, provoke the wrath of the Lord of gods and men. Lo, even sons of Zeus, the Thunder King, have perished, overborne by evil fate. Immortal though I be, my own son Orpheus died, whose magic song drew all the forest trees to follow him, and every craggy rock and river stream, and blasts of wind, shrill piping stormy breath, and birds that dart through air on rushing winds. Yet I endured my heavy sorrow. Gods ought not with anguished grief to vex their souls. Therefore make end of sorrow-stricken wail for your brave child, for to the sons of earth minstrels shall chant his glory and his might by mine and by my sister's inspiration unto the end of time. Let not your soul be crushed by dark grief, nor do you lament like those frail mortal women. Know you not that round all men which dwell upon the earth hover irresistible deadly fate, who wrecks not even the gods? Such power she only has for heritage. Yes, she soon shall destroy gold, wealthy Priam's town, and Trojans many, and Argives doomed to death, whomso she will. No god can stay her hand. So in her wisdom spoke Calliope, then plunged the sun down into ocean stream, and sable-vestured night came floating up over the wide firmament, and brought her boon of sleep to sorrowing mortals. On the sands there slept they, all the Achaean host, with heads bowed beneath the burden of calamity. But upon Thetis sleep laid not his hand. Still with the deathless Nereids by the sea she sat. On either side the Muses spoke one after other comfortable words to make that sorrowing heart forget its pain. But when with a triumphant laugh the dawn soared up the sky and her most radiant light shed over all the Trojans and their king, then, sorrowing sorely for Achilles still, the Danaans woke to weep. Day after day for many days they wept. Around them moaned far-stretching beaches of the sea and mourned great Nereus for his daughter Thetis's sake and mourned with him the other sea gods all for dead Achilles. Then the Argives gave the corpse of great Pelides to the flame. A pyre of countless tree trunks built they up, which, all with one mind toiling, from the heights of Ida they brought down. For Atreus's sons sped on to work and charged them to bring thence wood without measure, that consumed with speed might be Achilles's body. All around piled they about the pyre much battle gear of strong men slain and slew and cast thereon full many goodly sons of Trojan men, and snorting steeds and mighty bulls withal, and sheep and fatling swine thereon they cast, and wailing captive maids from coffers brought mantles untold, all cast they on the pyre, gold heaped they there and amber, all their hair the Myrmidon's shore, and shrouded with the same the body of their king. Briseis laid her own shorn tresses on the corpse, her gift, her last, unto her lord. Great jars of oil, full many poured they out thereon, with jars of honey and of wine, rich blood of the grape that breathed an odor as of nectar. Yes, cast incense, breathing perfumes, manifold, marvelous sweet, the precious things put forth by earth and treasures of the sea divine. Then, when all things were set in readiness about the pyre, all footmen, charioteers, compassed that woeful bale, clashing their arms, while from the viewless heights Olympian Zeus rained down ambrosia on dead Iacchus's son. For honor to the goddess Nereus's child, he sent to Aeolus Hermes, bidding him summon the sacred might of his swift winds, for that the corpse of Iacchus's son must now be burned. With speed he went, and Aeolus refused not. The tempestuous north in haste he summoned, and the wild blast of the west and of Troy sped they on their whirlwind wings. Fast in mad onrush, fast across the deep they darted, roared beneath them as they flew the sea, the land above crashed thunder-voiced clouds, headlong hurtling through the firmament. Then by decree of Zeus down on the pyre of slain Achilles, like a charging host, swooped they. Up leapt the fire god's madding breath, up rose a long wail from the Myrmidons. Then, though with whirlwind rushes toiled the winds all day, all night, they needs must fan the flames ere that death pyre burned out. Up to the heavens vast volumed rolled the smoke, the huge tree trunks groaned, writhing, bursting in the heat, and dropped the dark gray ash all around. So when the winds had tirelessly fulfilled their mighty task, back to their cave they rode, cloud-charioted. Then, When the fire had last of all consumed that hero king, when all the steeds, the men slain round the pyre, had first been ravined up, with all the costly offerings laid around the mighty dead of Achaea's weeping sons, the glowing embers did the Myrmidons quench with wine. Then clear to be discerned were seen his bones, for no wise like the rest were they, but like an ancient giant's. None beside with these were blent, for bulls and steeds and sons of Troy, with all that mingled hecatomb, lay in a wide ring round his corpse, and he amidst them, flame-devoured, lay there alone. So his companions, groaning, gathered up his bones, and in a silver casket laid massy and deep, and banded and bestarred with flashing gold. And Nereus' daughters shed ambrosia over them, and precious nards for honor to Achilles, fat of kine, and amber honey poured they all over. A golden vase his mother gave, the gift in old time of the wine god, glorious work of the craft master fire god, in the which they laid the casket that enclosed the bones of mighty-souled Achilles. All around the Argives heaped a barrow, a giant sign upon a foreland's uttermost end, beside the Hellespont's deep waters, wailing loud farewells unto the Myrmidon's hero king. Nor stayed the immortal steeds of Aeacus' son, tearless, beside the ships. They also mourned their slain king. Sorely loth were they to abide longer mid mortal men or Argive steeds, bearing a burden of consuming grief. But fain were they to soar through air, afar from wretched men, over the ocean streams, over the sea queen's caverns, unto where divine Podarge bare that storm foot, too begotten of the west, wind clarion voiced. Yes, and they had accomplished their desire, but the god's purpose held them back until from Scyros's isle Achilles's fleet foot son should come. Him waited they to welcome when he came unto the war host, for the Fates, daughter of holy chaos, at their birth had spun the life threads of those deathless foals, even to serve Poseidon first, and next Peleus, the dauntless king, Achilles then the invincible, and after these the fourth, the mighty-hearted Neoptolemus, whom, after death to the Elysian plain, they were to bear unto the blessed land by Zeus's decree. For which cause, though their hearts were pierced with bitter anguish, they abode still by the ships, with spirits sorrowing for their old lord, and yearning for the new. Then, from the surge of heavy plunging seas, rose the Earthshaker. No man saw his feet pace upon the strand, but suddenly he stood beside the Nereid goddesses and spoke to Thetis. Yet for Achilles bowed with grief, refrain from endless mourning for your son. Not with the dead shall he abide, but dwell with gods, as does the mighty of Heracles and Dionysus ever fair. Not him dread doom shall prison in darkness evermore, nor Hades keep him. To the light of Zeus soon shall he rise, and I will give to him a holy island for my gift. It lies within the Euxine Sea. There evermore a god your son shall be. The tribes that dwell around shall, as my own self, honor him with incense and with the steam of sacrifice. Hush your laments, vex not your heart with grief. Then, like a wind breath, had he passed away over the sea when that consoling word was spoken, and a little in her breast revived the spirit of Thetis, and the god brought this to pass thereafter. All the host moved moaning thence and came unto the ships that brought them over from Hellas. Then returned to Helicon the Muses beneath the sea, wailing their dear dead. Nereus's daughters sank. Oh, nerds, thank you as always for listening. They're so fun to read and also very difficult because there's a lot, that old language. Why did anyone ever talk like that? Why so much thou and thy and Anyway, I changed most of it in the moment, and I hope it all makes sense, but sometimes these translations are, they're really something, but they're better than nothing, right? This is such an interesting text, too, because of it's so late, and yet it is this, the only text that we have that really describes the end of the war, that, like, actually really describes Achilles' death in any kind of detail, let alone everything else. It's really, it's a very interesting and joyful. So I hope you're all enjoying this reading. Thank you all so much. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is written and produced by me, Liv Albert. Michaela Smith is the Hermes to my Olympians, my assistant producer. Laura Smith is the production assistant and audio engineer. The podcast is part of the iHeart Podcast Network. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Help me continue bringing you the world of Greek mythology and the ancient Mediterranean by becoming a patron, where you'll get past bonus episodes and maybe more new ones, or remains to be seen. I promise I will at least be back with some. Visit patreon.com/mythsbaby or click the link in this episode's description. I am Liv, and I love this shit.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.